It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond. And those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.
You're listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a discussion with industry leaders about how they persevere in uncertain times. Now here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the premier show of Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times. And we have a very special first guest here, and that's Kansas Senator Jerry Moran, who's on the call with me right now. And Senator, welcome to the first show for Forward Ever.
Gary, it's great to be with you, and it's an awfully useful thing at this point as we face challenging times currently, to think about where we want to go and what our communities, what our state, and what our nation should look like.
Well, what I want to see happen here on this, and it sort of started, the impetus for this was when you hosted a town hall meeting for leaders in Western Kansas. And I know there was a group of people there that were trying to tell their story. They wanted to tell their story and finding a way to do that. So we're going to use this show to really do that over the next few months, especially as we're going through the COVID-19 crisis, and talk about how you share your story to reach out to help, both in your chair as a senator of the state of Kansas and those that are trying to help people in Western Kansas. So with that said, looking back over the years, and you and I were talking about some history, not only here in this room where I am today, but I have a picture on the wall of you and I in D.C. and from years ago. During your time frame as both in the House of Representatives, leader in Kansas, leader as in the Senate, do you remember a time that leadership was more important than it is today?
You know, I've thought about my time of service in public life, and I've thought, man, I've been a participant in some many challenging things, unique times in our country's history. But what we're going through with COVID-19 is different. It's different than many of the other things that we faced, certainly in my time in public service. And the thing that, many things make this different, but one is it's so widespread. Normally, our national disasters are challenging times. They're narrowed. They don't affect every American. Certainly, if we have the Greensburg tornado is a point in time that stands out to me, in which we saw tremendous challenges for a community. And of course, all Kansans and many Americans responded to that. But today, most Americans are faced with issues related to COVID-19. And it's two sets of issues, which again makes it different than some other challenges we've had in this country. The national economy, which then translates into people's pocketbook issues, the ability to put food on their family's table, to be the ability to have a job, to feel comfortable in where you are just economically, to have planned for a future, and yet in today's world, it doesn't look quite as bright financially as it used to. So there's all these financial issues. And to some people, it's about their retirement, and to others, it's just about getting through the day. In addition to the financial side of this, we have the added concern, the added challenge of one's healthcare. How are they going to be affected by this? What does their actions mean for their children or their grandchildren or their parents? Or what if they come in contact with somebody who has COVID-19, the virus, and they get it? Or what if they come in to contact and they give it to somebody? So we combine both healthcare concerns, challenges, and with that economic financial concern. And that's different than most of the circumstances that we've faced before. In addition to that, this lack of ability to be with other people. I mean, when Kansans face challenging times, the reaction is usually to go out and put your arm around somebody or to pat them on the back, to encourage them, to shake their hand. And in today's health environment, that's not possible. And that isolation is something that it creates an even greater challenge. And I think we will see that in mental health and suicide issues, but just the inability to connect with other people. And I think Kansans and Americans, we face challenges frequently. This one has a lot of uncertainty. This is new to us. I think probably Americans never thought that a pandemic would cross the borders of the ocean, that we'd be safe and secure. Americans wouldn't have this problem. And I think Kansans are probably thinking that if there's a problem, it's going to affect the coasts, people on the East Coast and the West Coast. And so this idea of a pandemic, and it really hasn't presented itself in the United States for 100 years. And so virtually none of us have lived through this before. And the uncertainty of what this means and when it's going to arrive and when is it going to go away. And that translates into not knowing when things are going to get back to normal. If you've been through a natural disaster or if you go through a presidential impeachment, you have a sense that in a few months, things are going to be okay. And this COVID-19 circumstance doesn't lend itself to knowing that, okay, by a certain date, life is going to be back to normal. And we love normal. So this is different than other challenges our country has faced. I have no doubt that we get through that through it in a fine fashion. We'll be okay. Things will get back to some kind of normal. And but it is different than what we are accustomed to.
Senator, I know I've told people from our end that we'll be better when we get through this. We're going to learn a lot. We'll be better than we get when we get through this. But there's that meantime where we got to get from here to there. And I know in Washington, you've been working on several programs, and you made a comment the other day on the call about, you know, the challenges of voting for some of the bills out there, but they're so needed. What was your thought process as we're going to, now we're really looking at the fourth program to really help us through this time. So what has your thinking been on the different bills that have gone through, and really the last one that was the biggest one that allow everything from the Paycheck Protection Program to other things to help our companies and individuals survive over the next few weeks and months?
Gary, and again, it goes back to the problems that are exist economically and health-wise, have the likelihood, the potential, I guess is the way to say that, of affecting every American. As we try to deal with the healthcare issues and the financial issues, they are related. In part, the ability to keep a job and to have a paycheck, that's very useful to you as a head of a household. As a parent, in taking care of your children, in taking care of your parents. But it also has a consequence in your ability to keep others free from the virus. So if we can keep people with a paycheck, even though they may be working from home or can't work because of the COVID virus, they're still being paid. It does encourage people not to go out to get the paycheck when they shouldn't. And they still have income, and that then helps protect the rest of us. So, I mean, again, it's a different circumstance in which what we do as individuals can have a consequence on people we don't even know. We've been through three phases of legislative action, and you're right. I have said that I voted for things. First of all, there are things in these pieces of legislation that I don't support. But it's not a time in our country in which everybody gets exactly what they want. And I also think it's important for the American people to see Republicans and Democrats in this divided political world we live in, working together in time of a national crisis and setting aside the opportunity to say, I'm not voting for something unless I get it exactly like I want it. Again, in a broader sense, I'm voting for spending and for the involvement of government in people's lives in ways that are contrary to my view, my goal for the country, my belief that the federal government should be smaller, not larger, that we should not be spending more money, but less, and that people ought to have more freedom, not more intrusion from government in Washington, D.C. And yet these bills, the three that have been passed and signed by the president, as well as what we might do in the future, are increasing spending, are involving the federal government in people's lives in the ways that we would not have thought of several decades ago, and maybe not even last year we would have thought about doing the kinds of things we're doing. And so it is troublesome to me. The takeaway for me is people are hurting, and they're hurting through no fault of their own, and there has to be a response, even though I'm uncomfortable with the magnitude and expense of that response, and I'm willing to vote for some things that I don't like for that are included in this package to get us all together on the same page. And that was a result of 96 senators voting yes, no one voting no. Again, setting aside differences, that set aside doesn't happen often enough in our nation's capital. We all are insistent upon having things exactly the way we want them. And this is a very diverse country with different ideas about what we should do to solve problems. So again, that's different too. In the last financial crisis, 2008-2009, I voted against every what was then called bailouts. So my history is different than where we are at the moment. But again, through no fault of anyone who is harmed, we have tremendous challenges to get this country back in a safe and secure place where there's a financial future, a well-being for Americans. And quite frankly, if we don't do it as the United States of America, the challenges we have here, both health, but especially economically, will spread to the world.
Senator, the Paycheck Protection Program, you mentioned part of that, is that it's helped a bunch of businesses in Kansas, Northwest Kansas, people I know that really would have trouble keeping their doors open. And so it's been very helpful. Will there be more money for that? Can you tell?
My best guess is that yes, this presents an opportunity for those who want other things to be more or different to try to leverage this issue to get what they want. Having just said, we avoided generally that in the first three phases of the bill. There's negotiations ongoing now, and I think the end result is that there will be more money available. As we speak, the money that is available for the Paycheck Protection Program, it has been fully utilized. And I would highlight in Kansas, and the numbers really surprise me, particularly when we talk about how much money we are pumping into the economy so that people can keep working and businesses can keep their doors open. We're talking about nearly $4 billion, $3.738 billion was spent through this SBA loan guarantee program. Maybe the better way of saying it, that amount of money was loaned out, much of which will be forgiven if businesses keep their employees employed. But nearly $4 billion coming to Kansas, and really coming to Kansas Main Street, because this is a program that is only available for businesses that have less than 500 employees. And there were nearly 20,000 loans that were made in this program, 19,915 loans to Kansans, and all but nine of our banks across the state of Kansas, and we have several hundred, all but nine participated in this program, meaning that the money was spent from Johnson County, Kansas, to Johnson City, Kansas, from east to west and north to south, from urban, suburban to rural. And that's also a very pleasing thing, a program that can benefit Kansans no matter where they live.
I know that's something you do is travel the state. I'm going to come back to that. But I know one more question I want to ask. You know, right now, as we're talking, people are receiving their checks for themselves and their family. And I'm not sure there could be a better time when people could be receiving those checks right now.
Well, yes, absolutely. Timing mattered. I mean, when we talked about the Paycheck Protection Program, we asked the Small Business Administration to put loan guarantees in place to the tune of $350 billion. So within 2 weeks to certify, to approve, and to guarantee $350 billion worth of loans across the country. And the magnitude of the SBA's normal lending program is $30 billion over a year period. So 10 times the amount of volume for the SBA in 2 weeks as they have in 1 year normally. And the point there is that all of this had to take place quickly. The aid or support, financial help would mean little a month from now. It means a lot today. And once we lose a business in Kansas, once we lose a farm, once we lose a hospital, the chances of those things returning and being employers in our communities, they disappear. It's true of wherever you live in Kansas, but it's especially true in rural Kansas, where if we lose a business, the chances of it, that business is in many ways probably just operating on very small margins, very small profits. Our hospitals often are in the red, not the black. And I think the timing was so important because if a business made a decision to close, turning that around, even when things get better, is pretty unlikely from my experience in knowing rural communities and the challenges that small businesses face in our state. So timing was hugely important. We had no extra days to waste in getting the relief, the help to the people of America.
I know one thing, the government and SBA in particular did an amazing job of turning that around. The same thing is happening with the individual checks that are coming out as well. That seems to be a system with some new things put in place, new technology put in place that seems to be going well and also at the right time.
Well, certainly we've had technology problems at the SBA with the magnitude of what we were asking. It is challenging to get checks into people's hands who don't have, who haven't filed a tax return or don't have an account number for automatic deposit. But you're right, while we spent time visiting about the Paycheck Protection Program, the SBA Loan Guarantee Program, there's a couple, three other kind of programs that are in place that are designed to make sure we meet the needs of Americans wherever they are. And as we are having this conversation, as this program is airing, there are Kansans and Americans who are receiving a direct check from the federal government. And that's for people making less than $75,000. It's a check for $1,200 and some additional money for children in the family. And it is designed to take care of people we may not pick up. This could be people on disability, could be somebody who is a veteran receiving veterans benefits. And that helps people just, again, timeliness, trying to make sure there's something in their bank account that allows them to get through the week or the month. And then the third category there is increasing unemployment benefits. Unemployment insurance is a state of Kansas issue. It's a state issue, not a federal issue. Unemployment insurance is managed by states. But the federal government put money in, I should say the federal taxpayers, because everything we spend comes out of someone's pocket either today or when the loan that we borrow money becomes due. But unemployment benefits were increased $400 a week for the next 4 months, again, to help people in a different circumstance. Paycheck Protection, the SBA Loan Guarantee Program was designed to keep people working. Unemployment benefits are for those who are incapable, unable to keep their job, and now are unemployed. And the direct payment is for those who might be, as I said earlier, for an example, on disability. And so those three programs are designed to work quickly. And the way we did it, I mean, the way that the legislation was drafted was to try to not to create any new program, to get money in people's pockets who are filing tax returns and therefore have an automatic deposit, moves it quickly, to use the SBA, which is in the business of guaranteeing small business loans. While the magnitude was different, it's still a program they were familiar with. And so you add to that then unemployment. It's a system that already exists, all designed to move money, what the big bankers would say or the Treasury Department would say, to put liquidity out into the economy so that people can keep spending. For many Kansans, that means just paying their bills and getting by, but in the process, keeping the economy going because there's money that's working its way through the economy.
Senator, you talked about Johnson County to Johnson City. You like to travel. My last question are really about you. How do you get back and forth to D.C.? I know you're not able to travel. You like to go out and see people and talk to people and be in community town hall meetings. That is changing. How are you making that work in your life?
In some ways, I worry that technology is going to take that face-to-face, that person-to-person contact out of our lives. I hope not for me. I hope not for most people. There is great value to us knowing each other on a face-to-face level. And while technology has its benefits, there is no substitute for knowing people, for seeing them in their hometowns, for seeing them at work, for having conversations surrounded by their friends. It is a really important thing in our lives to have human contact in which we can show care and compassion and love for other people. So it is a time in which it's difficult to be a United States senator in the way that the United States Senate is supposed to operate. How do you distance 100 senators when numerous times throughout the day we're to be on the Senate floor having debate and ultimately casting votes? How do you have a committee hearing in which you bring witnesses in to tell two or three sides of every story? So the Senate needs to figure out how it's going to operate. And we also need to make certain that the Senate doesn't just defer to the executive branch on every decision. There's a reason our founders of our country created three branches of government, and that's to balance each other out. And we want to make certain that in the absence of the physical presence of the United States Senate or the United States House of Representatives, that no other branch assumes all the responsibilities. In the absence of that balance, we begin to lose our liberties and freedoms. So this is not just a theoretical thing. We will see consequences when the legislative branch doesn't work very well. We've had our challenges in that regard already before COVID-19, and we want to make sure that nothing prohibits us from exercising our responsibilities under the Constitution to the citizens of the country. I am using technology, and I'm hardly out and about. I'm not quarantined, but I'm doing my work from home, and I spend my day on the phone with teleconferencing. And I would say that you and I just talked about the three pieces of legislation, major legislation that's passed. While the work in Washington, D.C. was important, to try to get it as right as we could get it. But the reality is there are huge gaps, things that were left out, people who will have fallen through the cracks, mistakes in the way the bill was drafted, things that are in the bill that need to be corrected. And so while my job in drafting and creating and compromising and working with my colleagues is important, it is also now important to fix the problems. And much of my job at this point is touching base with Kansans, figuring out what's working and what isn't working, and where we need to make changes and corrections to what we've already done. It is the aspect of the job that I like the best, I guess. I appreciate the opportunity to work in the nation's capital, but I love Kansas. And being here, I love being surrounded by people, and I hope for those days to quickly return. But I would say that it is my job now is to say, how can I help? What problem can I try to fix? And how can we make things better? And that's the day in, day out. I would say, Gary, you know I like to read. I brought a couple books home with me thinking that, well, I'm not going to be in Washington, D.C. I'll get a couple of books read. I'm probably 50 pages into one book over the last 3 weeks. There just isn't the time of the day during the day to get all the things done that keep presenting themselves. And somewhat different to my life in Washington, D.C., those things are not on a schedule. They just pop up every day, numerous times throughout the day. And then the response is, how do I and how do the people who work for Kansans with me in my office, how do we respond to fix the problem?
Senator, that's a good example of leadership in action, and I do want to say thank you for being our first guest here on the Forward Ever program. Appreciate what you do. Appreciate hearing from you from time to time and seeing your reports come out. You send out those reports on a weekly basis, and I know you always look forward to people giving you feedback on these things, whether it be this program or others.
Gary, thanks. Thanks for the compliment. I appreciate the chance to communicate with Kansans through Eagle Radio. I'd try to close with something that I learned and was told on one of those teleconference calls in which the president of one of our Kansas universities said to me, here is something he learned from one of his mentors. And I think it holds true for what we're trying to, who we're trying to be and what we're trying to accomplish. And the message was pretty straightforward. In times of crisis, tell the truth. In times of crisis, provide a plan. And finally, in times of crisis, give hope. And we all can do that every day as we work our way through the challenges of COVID-19, knowing that there is there are good days with us today and better days can come tomorrow.
Senator, you've done exactly that on the show today. Thanks for being with us and keep up the good work and the leadership as you take on these challenging times. Senator Jerry Moran on the Forward Ever program, Leading in Challenging Times.
Thank you for listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management. Be sure to check back next week for another episode with your host, Gary Shorman. Until then, remember to move forward ever, backward never. Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times is a production of Eagle Communications.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. Long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management. Enhancing lives and strengthening families.